The Bible calls Jesus the cornerstone. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with that term, in construction, and I don't build a lot of things, so someone more handy can correct me on this, but the cornerstone, it was what the whole building was based on. You got that wrong, and everything could be wrong. And if you take that away, the whole stability of what you're building is compromised. It's no wonder that the Bible calls Jesus the cornerstone. And it's what we need to build our lives on. And so that's what this song talks about. So once you learn the chorus, I encourage you to sing along with me. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. Every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Yes, my anchor holds within the veil. See, Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. He is Lord, Lord of all. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. And you sing this, Christ alone, star. Savior's love through the storm.
you, Brother Derek. It is such an honor to have Brother Scott, Sister Ev Jacobs with us here tonight. Brother Scott is our Section 3 presbyter, and such an honor to have him as a friend. We love and appreciate this man, and doing a phenomenal job, phenomenal work down in Prairie du Chien and Boscobel area of our state. So it's an honor to have you here, my friend. I want you to come and preach to us tonight. God bless you, Brother Scott.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. Isn't God good? God is good. Amen. Just an honor to be here. So glad to be in the house of the Lord. I give honor to those in authority, and Brother Elder Grant, Bishop, we honor you. We thank you for your leadership. Amen. Amen. Honor your pastor and his wife. Amen. We honor them. Brother Seidel and his wife. We love them. I'm not sure why, but we do. We love him anyway. We love her. I'm not really sure about him. We're still working on that. Love you, bro. But God is good. Honor the ministry, you who are here. But above all, we honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. So glad to be here. Amen. It's good to be here. It's good to see my brother secretary in the back. Amen. Brother Demas, my fellow partner in crime, God is so good. Just so thankful to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I want to jump right in here, if you don't mind, and we're going to see if we can get you out of here by, time so you can go to work in the morning. Amen. God is good. Amen. Romans chapter 8, looking at verse number 28. Romans chapter 8. Verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. He says, we know this. Do you know this? To those who are called according to his purpose. And then jump down to verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who? I feel the Holy Ghost here. I think I remember Brother Grant preaching one time, and he said, if God be for us, everyone else might as well be. Amen? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here. Father, we ask your blessings upon this service. We ask, God, that you will minister to us today. We ask, God, that you will find ground, Lord, in which a seed can be planted. And Father, that we will allow it to grow. And we pray, God, that you will minister, God, to the hurting and to those, God, in need today. We pray it all in your glorious name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We know that all things work together for good. We know this. But we forget this. We know things work together for good to those that love the Lord and to those who are called according to his purpose. I have purpose today. Amen. And you have purpose today. And if you don't know your purpose today, you can find it tonight. I said, you can find it tonight. Amen. And he says, so what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I think it goes without saying tonight that we believe this. Can somebody back me? We believe this. Right? Amen. But how many times have we all wondered about whether or not God was in this? Or if God is in this, or if God is in that, or if God is with us. Amen. We can't believe it and then not believe it. He either is or he isn't. He either is God or he's not God. He either is the Almighty or he's not the Almighty. He is the Everlasting or he's not the Everlasting. Amen. He can't be both. He's one or the other. And as Joshua said, choose you this day. Make a decision. Amen. Amen. So he goes on and says, he said, so if God be for us, and many times we have wondered if we were going in the right direction. Anybody ever wondered that? If you're going in the right direction, if you're doing the right thing, or if your conversation you're having with somebody, it's not too long that during that conversation, this little two-letter word shows up, if. In any kind of conversation, if. Amen. The word if there, it is talking about if in the event that, if something goes my way, allowing that, this is what if means, on the assumption that, or on the condition that, that's what the word if is. I've come to talk to the church today. I've come to challenge the church today that we would stand on our if. Getting pushed past the if is very slippery and very hard because the I is a little small thing and the F kind of has a hook to it and we can slip off of it. But I challenge you to grab that F by the hook and put your foot on the I and push it apart so that you could see the glory of the resurrection. Savior. Get past that if in your life. Get past that if and what's going on. Woo! And I haven't had any Mountain Dew. Could you imagine if I had Mountain Dew? Praise God Almighty. I feel the Holy Ghost here today. Amen. I feel God is in this place today. So here's what I say, not too long into your conversation when you have with somebody, it begins to make a turn and you're trying to talk to somebody and all of a sudden it's like, well, if I just knew for sure. Or maybe it's like, well, if I just knew what his will was. Or maybe it's something like that, not before long. Well, if we allow these things to happen, we end up saying, well, if God would just show me. And if we're not careful, before too long, we are controlled and influenced by if. We're controlled by it. Because what happens if soon if becomes the biggest obstacle in your life? And soon this word begins to stand in the way of your obedience to God. Oh, you're getting quiet on me now. It's just a little word. But what happens? I'd give my life to Jesus if. I'd share my testimony and talk to people if. I'd start giving if. I could help others if. God, I really want to serve you if. God, I could start doing that if. And our whole obedience and everything that we do for God is contingent upon this little word if. But my Bible tells me if God be for us, and the reason we struggle with that, we sing it, we shout it, we dance, and we run, but we don't believe it because we have allowed this word to condition us to where when we read it, if God be for us, not as if God is on your side, what are you concerned about? But it becomes a question in our mind. Is God for me? Is God with me? If God would just show up, if God would just move in our service, if God would just move in my job site, if God would just move in my family, if God, And everything that we do is held hostage by a two-letter word, if. So it begins to view how we see Scripture. You say, well, I don't know if I necessarily believe all that. Let me talk to you. Is it okay? Sure, it's okay. I got the mic. So here we go. John chapter 11, verse number 21. Problems happen in the homestead. Jesus gets word. Lazarus has died. Mary and Martha, their life has been turned upside down. And as we begin to read and we look into the Scripture, verse number 21, Martha, when she saw and heard that Jesus was coming, she ran out to him. In verse number 21, it says, and Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you would have been here. But listen to this. If you would have been here, my brother had not died. But look at what she's saying. But I know that even now, whatever you ask, it'll happen. But then if you jump a little bit further in here, if you jump down and you begin to study it a little more, you find what Jesus said to her when he got to the stone in verse number 39. He said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto the Lord, he said, by this time he stinks. In verse 40, Jesus said unto her that if you would believe, but her belief in God was held captive by a two-letter word. And even though she believed, even though at your word right now it can happen, but she didn't necessarily believe it. Why? Because if would not allow her to. If would not set her free. If would not allow her to open up and believe God for who he was and who he is. It held her captive. And she's not the only one. Mary herself said, Lord, if you would have been here. How many times do we say that in our life, in our relationship? God, if you would just show up. God, if you would just move. God, if you would just bless. God, if you would just talk to me. And we are held captive by the word if. Am I okay? Do you believe that just the two? That's what I said. It's slippery to get past it. The F has a hook on it. Trying to push it apart and your arm slips off of it. But you got to reach underneath of that hook. You got to get a hold of something. You got to get your foot on that eye and you got to tear it apart. Because that thing is preventing you to see who God is. And we're held captive by if. But we got to get if out of the way. Do you believe that? Can we just for a moment, if you believe that with me, would you just worship the Lord? God, get if out of the way right now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you say it? Would you pray it right now? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we need to get if out of the way. Amen. It's not about if I get the money. It's not about if I get the job. It's not about if my family comes to church. It's not about if things work out. It's that God is for me. Amen. Who can be against me? And it doesn't really matter what if is telling me, because God is on my side. God is on your side. Say that. Turn to somebody. High five them. Say, God is on your side. If you're sitting next to somebody you don't really like, just high five their nose. God is on your side. Amen. If somebody gets hurt, we'll have a healing line. We'll pray for people. We're okay. We're good to go. God is on your side. But church, we need to get if out of the way so we can see God for who and what he is. Do you believe that? Amen. We need to see how great and awesome our God is. I said we need to see how great and awesome our God is. And we can't do that when if is in the way. So here what we got to do. We got to understand that God has more power and more ability than you and I could ever imagine. He does. Amen. This God that I serve has never been surprised by anything. I've been surprised by things, but my God has not been surprised. Your God has not been surprised by things. Amen. When the earth was void and darkness controlled it, God didn't look up on Google to see what to do. God said, I got this. If didn't stand in God's way. And God said, let there be, and it became. Oh, listen to me. We're held hostage by a little two-letter word. If we could just move that thing, if we could get rid of that thing, if we could destroy that thing, and we can live, and if God is for us, who and what can be against us? Amen. There ain't nothing that we cannot do with God on our side. Amen. God, amen, has never ever lied. God has never failed. God has never made a mistake. God has never forgotten anyone. So what is the problem? The problem is if. It is separating you from God. God has never forgotten anyone. God has never made a mistake. God has never failed. God has never lied. God has never been surprised by anything. God has never met a person that he could not help or heal. God has never been defeated by the devil. God does not fear kings, queens, presidents, politicians, politics, or politically correct Christians. God is not afraid of anything. That's the God I serve. I said, that's the God I serve. I said, that's the God I serve. I said, that's the God I serve. What about you? Whoa! My if tells me God's forgotten me, but God hasn't. I need to hurry. Those of you who want me to hurry, say amen. Whoa! I heard that. I heard that. I'm taking names. See, this is what liberation feels like. I'm not controlled. I'm free. Oh, my God, if you could understand, listen, I am in control. Why? Because God has given me spiritual authority. And the only way to exercise that spiritual authority is to remove if out of my life and not say, well, if God wants me to do that, it'll happen. No, no, no. God wants you to do that. That's why he gave you the spiritual authority, because God wants you to do that. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 13 through 20, it says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiply, and I will multiply you.'" So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. "For men indeed swear by a greater and an oath for confirmation is for them to end all dispute. This God, determining to show a more abundantly to the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. And this hope that is set before us is an anchor to the soul. It's both sure and steadfast. It enters into the presence beyond the veil." I'm anchored to that. I'm anchored to an unchangeable God. I'm anchored to an unmovable force. Amen. Listen to what I'm saying today. You are anchored to the Almighty as long as you get "if" out of the way. The song is just keep going in my head. God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness. Amen. God is not afraid of anything or anybody, but when he moves things out of the way, it's our "if" that does not allow us to step forward in that liberty and in that goodness that God has opened up for us. Listen to me, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You are your own worst enemy. But my God is greater. My God is stronger. Ah. So what is he saying? God gave us his word. God made a commitment. When God made a promise to Abraham, he backed it up by putting his own reputation on the line. He put his own reputation on the line. He said, "I'm going to be here. I'm going to confirm this." Because he couldn't swear by no one greater. He said, "I promise that I will bless you in everything." This was his promise. This is what he said he would do. Listen, I'm not preaching prosperity here tonight. What I am preaching is endurance, because I ain't concerned about what's going on tonight. I'm concerned about, am I anchored to the unchangeable, the unmovable rock of my salvation? My world could be turned upside down, but I ain't going nowhere. My health can be going out the window, but my soul ain't going nowhere. Why? Because it's anchored to an immovable force. And when we allow our life to be controlled by the word "if," it will cause us to doubt and cause us to have an unbelief in our God. Because when God doesn't do what we want, then we begin to, I guess I'm just not living right. I guess I'm just not doing something right. I guess I'm just not where God wants me to be. I guess I'm just missing the mark. And we begin to bring all of these things upon us when all along, listen, I told the church in Stoughton this. And the psalmist, he said this. I believe it was Psalms 103. He said this. These are my notes. He said, the ways of God, Moses knew all about. But the works of God, the children of Israel knew. And what I was saying is we cannot be so consumed about the works of God and the blessings of God and the outpouring of God's miracles in our life, because when we are so captivated by that, it begins to breed frustration in our life when we don't know what God is doing. And the reason we don't know what God is doing is because God cannot tell us what his ways are and what his plans are, is because we don't have a closeness with him. So therefore, we become a generation that only knows his works and we don't know his ways. Why was Moses never frustrated? Because he knew the ways of the Lord. Why did the people always want to go back? Because they only knew the works of the Lord. And you can't let if cloud your vision of who God is. I used to walk tall and proud around my house. My kids would say, my dad can do anything. I remember riding a bus one time back in 1953. Anyways, I wasn't there. But anyways, just makes me sound intelligent. But I remember riding the bus one time and these kids were going back and forth. My dad's bigger than your dad. My dad's stronger than your dad. My dad can do this and your dad can't do that. My dad and this, and they just go on and on and on. Whatever happened to God's people that said, my God is greater, my God is bigger? Isn't it time we start bragging on God? Isn't it time we start remembering, listen, my God is bigger than this problem. My God is greater than this situation. My God is bigger than my family problem. My God is bigger than my health problem. My God is bigger than my financial problem. Listen, my God is bigger than this. My God is greater. My God is awesome. My God can do great things. Can you brag on God tonight? Or are you controlled by your if? I need to hurry. So when God, he made a promise to Abraham and he backed it up by saying, I will put my petition on the line. This is who I am. See, when people make promises, they guarantee it by some higher authority. But God didn't have a higher authority. It's like when you used to go to the courts, do you swear to tell the truth? Used to be you put your hand on the Bible. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. You're swearing upon a higher authority than who you are. And God was saying, there ain't no higher authority than me, so I swore to myself. I made a commitment to myself. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? So when God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave us his word, a very rock solid guarantee. And you want to know something, church? God cannot break his word. Do you believe that? God does not break his word. And because his word cannot change, the promises are likewise unchangeable. It's unchangeable. Amen? Amen. We have every reason to grab a hold of that promised hope. Not just with one hand, but with both hands. And we have every reason not to ever let it go. It's unbreakable. It's unchangeable. It is a spiritual lifeline that reaches into the presence of God. I'm anchored to that. And you're anchored to that. The anchor is both sure and it's steadfast. I think we know what an anchor is, right? Amen? All right, those of you who say you do, it's not your spouse. That's not an anchor. Those of you who are being drugged to church, God is not your anchor. He's not holding you back. You have freedom in him. But our anchor is on the promises of the unchangeability of God. He does not change. Amen. God is my lifeline. God is my happiness. God is my joy. God is my fulfillment. When David struggled in his situation with God, he said this in Psalm 51, restore or return unto me what? The joy of thy salvation. Are you still happy that you're saved today? Our hope, I need to hurry. I'm just about done. Another 10, 12 pages. Our hope is a sure and a steadfast anchor. It cannot slip. It cannot break down under whoever or whatever may try to walk on it. It doesn't change. Everything that God is what I'm anchored to. Amen? I'm anchored to the one who has all power that is in heaven and earth. I'm anchored to the one who has all authority. I'm anchored to the one who has all dominion. And I'm anchored to the one who has everlasting love. I'm anchored to that. And you got to see that tonight. But if your if is in the way, you begin to question these things. You got to get your if out of the way. If God loves me, why is he letting this happen? If God is God, why am I hurting? If God is doing this, then why is this happening? And we can go through on and on and on and on. But this is not the song that God has given us. He has given us a song of the redeemed. He has given us a song of hope. He has given us a song of peace. He has given us a song of joy. So here we go, church. I'm coming in for a landing. I don't know if you got anything tonight. If this ain't any good, I got another lesson. But what are you connected to? Is your if causing you to see God through a blurred vision? The Lord spoke to me just a couple weeks ago, And I was reading where he had prayed for a man who couldn't see. And he says, what can you do now? Can you see? And he says, I see men as trees walking. And he prayed for him again. He says, what do you see now? He says, I see clearly. It's interesting to me that God, that Jesus did not leave him with partial vision. Because partial vision of who God is like having no vision at all. But when you have clear vision of him, ain't nothing going to hold me down. Ain't nothing going to stop me except me and my little if. But I'm going to bury it tonight. Listen to me. I'm anchored to mercy. I'm anchored to forgiveness. I'm anchored to the one who holds me by the power of his right hand. That's what's connected to that. He says we have this hope, this steadfastness. It's sure. So here we go, church. What are you anchored to? Is your if causing you problems? You got to deal with the if. You got to get it out of the way. Is God God or not? You got to make a decision. Is he the Almighty or is he not the Almighty? Is he the one that you're connected to or is he not the one that you're connected to? Is he your God or is he not your God? Is he the everlasting or is he not the everlasting? Is he the Prince of your peace or is he not the Prince of your peace? Is he the Almighty God or is he not the Almighty God? But you can't have it both ways. I'm anchored to the one who is the way, who is the truth, and who is the life. I'm anchored to the bread of life, to the light of the world, and to the living word. I'm anchored to the I am that I am, and to the one who holds my tomorrow, and to the one who has forgiven me of my past. I am anchored to the one that quenches the very fiery darts of the wicked one. I am anchored to the one who stops the mouths of the lion. I am anchored to the one who quenches the very heated, fiery furnace. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here. I'm anchored to the one that can make a way by dividing a Red Sea so the people can cross. I am anchored to the one who brought water from a rock so his people could drink. I'm anchored to the one who spoke the world into existence when it was void, without form, and when darkness was upon the face of the deep. I'm anchored to the wonderful, to the counselor, to the mighty God, to the everlasting Father. I'm anchored to the Prince of Peace. Somebody needs to hear me tonight. This is who, where our anchor is. I'm anchored to the one whose name is above every name. I'm anchored to the one who with healing in his wings. I'm anchored to the more that was with Elisha than the army that encircled him. I'm anchored to the fire that was shut up in the bones of Jeremiah. I'm anchored to the fire that fell on that altar at Mount Carmel. Oh my God, I'm anchored to everything which is, which was, and which shall be. Church, do you believe this today? Where's your anchor? It's not in coffee. It's not an entertainment. It needs to be in Him. Unshakable. Unmovable. I'm anchored to the peace that passeth all understanding. I'm anchored to the greater that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm anchored to that. I'm anchored to the Alpha, to the Omega, to the beginning and to the end, to the which was and to the which shall be. I'm anchored to the one who's going to return again, and I'm anchored to the one to which I will say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So now we come back. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And how do we know that God is for us? Because our hope is steadfast and it's sure and it's anchored to what's beyond the veil. Listen. This world might be spinning around and so fast of a circle that's making your head spin and you have no idea what end is up. I'm telling you, your anchor point knows what ends up. You just need to hold on to that. Here's the beautiful thing about a navigational system. We have them on our phones. We use them a lot of time. Take me to this place. Take me to that place. And it gives you those directions that are there. Before it can give you the directions on how to get there, it first needs to find out where you are. I'm coming to a close. I ain't moving, Pastor. I'm anchored. You can count on me, Pastor. I'm anchored.
I know in whom I believe. Listen. Listen, 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 Nebuchadnezzar. You can give me all of the opportunities you want. You can play the music again and you can let me come all the way back around. But listen, I know my God is able. But if my God is not able, I will not bend. I will not bow. Because I'm anchored to Him. And in order for me to leave this place, Brother Grant, I have to release the anchor. And Brother Seidel, I ain't touching that with a 10-foot pole. Because that thing has saved my soul. That thing has kept me sane. That thing has been my provider. He has been my common sense. My anchor into what is beyond the veil has been my morals. Has kept me in righteousness. And it has kept me in peace. Listen. I don't want to be out of the way here today. But if you have anxiety problems, I just feel a check in my spirit. I need to tell you something. You don't have to stay with them. Come get anchored to the peace that passeth all understanding. Come on. Come on. This altar's open right now. Come on, ministry team. I don't know who you are or where you are, but come on. Let's allow the Holy Ghost to minister. If you got addictions, if you got problems in your life right now, I'm telling you, it's time to get anchored to something that's unchangeable.
Water you turned into wine.
I feel the Holy Ghost, church. I feel the Holy Ghost, church. Somebody needs to hold on. Somebody needs to get in here. Somebody needs to believe this. Somebody needs to get anchored again.
Into the darkness you shine.
Come on. There's plenty of room. There's plenty of room. There's plenty of God. There's plenty of hope. There's plenty of peace. Come on, church. Come on, there's plenty of peace. There's plenty of joy. There's plenty of hope. There's plenty of love. Come get anchored.
Stronger,
hallelujah.
God, you are higher than any other.
Hallelujah.
Our God is
come on, church. Let the Holy Ghost
awesome
move right now.
Power,
come on, church. Let the Holy Ghost move right now. Let's get re-anchored. Let's get re-secured. Amen. You don't need to go anywhere. What you need is right here. You don't need to run anywhere. What you need is right here.
God. What a great God. What a great
God.
God.
Is great.